The title of this CD is The Greatest Book in the World. I'll be quoting scriptures from the King James Bible. My name is Fred Hohen. I've been a Christian since I was 4 years old. The Lord Jesus baptized me with His Holy Spirit when I was about 13 or 14. There is a calling on my life and an anointing from God to preach and teach. It's not just something I want to do, it's something God wants me to do. And I don't dare say no to God. The Bible says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The Lord made me a promise when I was a youth. He told me that my seed would be as the sand of the sea. I'll win many souls for Jesus. I'll get many people saved. I'll get many people baptized with the Holy Spirit of God. I'll cast out demons from people. I'll help people go to heaven. Now we send our children to school. One of the first things they're taught is the alphabet, the letters from A to Z. Why do we want our children to know the alphabet? Because they need it for reading. If you're in the medical profession, you have medical books. If you're a lawyer, you have legal books. If you're an engineer, you have engineering books with engineering formulas in them. If you're a housewife, you probably have a cookbook in your kitchen with recipes for how to make a pumpkin pie and things. A construction inspector needs his national electrical code. My career was in electronics, and I have books on that subject. Somebody might say, "Well, I'm a farmer and I don't need books." Well, I guess you could be a farmer and not use books, but there are lots of books on the subject, and probably you'd make more profit with your farm if you'd read some books on the subject. The Bible says every prudent man deals with knowledge. There are no doubt professional people who depend heavily on their books to use in their work. If something happened to those books, they'd go out and buy replacement books. But there's one book that stands out from them all. Above every other book in the world is the Holy Bible. If a law were passed that you could only have one book, the book you should choose is the Bible. Every book has an author who wrote the book. The author of the Bible is God. But somebody might say, "No, no, men wrote the Bible." If I sit down at a typewriter and type a letter to my friend, would you then say, "Oh, Fred's typewriter wrote a letter"? That would be wrong. The typewriter simply reproduced on paper my keystrokes. The typewriter did no writing. I am the author of the letter. Similarly, men were just the typewriters that God used to write the Bible. Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, the Bible says. Men spoke and they wrote what God wanted them to say. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, the Bible says. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Those are called your minor prophet books in the Bible. Each of those guys was probably a smart guy, but the only reason we need to know what they had to say is that they were speaking for God. That's why those men are important, because they were messages from God, messengers from God to us. God's book, the Bible, tells us how we got here. In the book of Genesis, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. On the sixth day, God created the first human being, Adam. On the seventh day, God rested." That man, Charles Darwin, who thought we got here some other way, was dead wrong. And he is no doubt burning in hell at this time, for it is written, "All liars shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone." Darwin's friends, who have followed his lies and rejected God and the Bible, will share hell with Darwin. Adam and his wife Eve sinned against God by eating a fruit God said not to eat. God said you can eat all the other fruits in the Garden of Eden, but don't eat the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. With sin came death, and they were put out of the Garden of Eden. The Bible tells us about the greatest man who ever lived on earth, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, says John 3, verse 16. Now there are other scriptures that say we Christians are sons of God, but we're not sons of God in the same way that Jesus is. Jesus was present with God at the creation of the world, even before the first man, Adam. In the Old Testament, the people were told to sacrifice animals for their sins. But then about 2,000 years ago, God sent his son Jesus from heaven to earth. He came to earth as a baby, born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. He taught the people, healed the sick, raised the dead, cast demons out of people. False accusers and an unjust judge got Jesus crucified on the cross. The blood of Jesus paid our sin debt. They put his body in a tomb. The third day, God raised Jesus from the dead. He now sits at the right hand of God in heaven. No greater man has ever lived, and no man will ever surpass Jesus in greatness. In John chapter 3, Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, came to Jesus at night. Jesus got right to the point and told him, "You must be born again. Everyone gets born once, but you have to get born again." You could say, "But what if I don't get born again?" Well, then you'll end up in hell for the rest of eternity, and eternity has no end. Someone could say, "That seems very brutal." No doubt it is very brutal to be in hell, but you see, God has made arrangements so that we don't have to go to hell. The arrangement God has made for us is Jesus. Please accept my Jesus as your Savior. Say a little prayer telling him you accept him as Lord and Savior. He will hear from heaven, and you won't go to hell if you stick with Jesus. In Romans 3:23, Jesus tells us, not Jesus, but the Romans 3:23 tells us, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 tells us, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In Romans 10:9-10, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you're saved. For with the heart man believes for righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made for salvation. This is the gospel message, the good news from God. Jesus said, "Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there are who go that way. But restricted is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there are who find it." Jesus is telling us that most people go to hell, but you don't have to be one of them. Confess Jesus with your mouth and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, and you're saved. You're a Christian. Don't put it off until some other time. Now is the day of salvation, the Bible says. Jesus told us about hell. He said in hell, there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, where their worms don't die and where the fire is not quenched. There is no putting out the fires of hell. On earth, we have companies that specialize in putting out fires. After the problems in the military conflict over there in Kuwait, there were many fires burning. We had American companies that went over there and put out those fires. They used dynamite. They used caterpillars. They were specialists in putting out fire. But the greatest specialist on earth can't put out the fires in hell. Jesus said in hell they gnash their teeth. Why do people gnash their teeth? Because they're angry. There is an expression that I heard when I was in the United States military. That torques my jaws. What does that mean? That means it provokes the person to anger. You gnash their teeth. You torque your jaws if you're angry. Why are people in hell angry? Because they've been tricked out of going to heaven. They've been cheated. They've been deceived. They've been seduced. Maybe the devil told them, oh, there's no such thing as hell. And yet there they are. They believed there was no hell, so they went to hell. Jesus said there's a hell, and Jesus is not a liar. You can believe the Bible, or you can pay the consequences. Jesus doesn't want people to go to hell. That's why he died for our sins. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, the Bible says. You come to repentance, you ask God for forgiveness, you accept Jesus as Savior, and you'll go to heaven. Now there is a false teaching that says, once you're saved, you're always saved. But that is a false teaching. Jesus said, many will say to me in that day, that is judgment day, Lord, Lord, have we not done many wonderful works in your name? Have we not cast out devils in your name? And Jesus will say, depart from me, I never knew you. And I was discussing this with a man one time, and he said, well, doesn't that mean that they weren't Christians? No, it doesn't mean that. If you look at the book of Ezekiel, God tells Ezekiel in the early chapters of Ezekiel, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness to wickedness, his righteousness will be forgotten. And that is what happened with these people saying to Jesus, Lord, Lord, have we not done many wonderful works in your name? Have we not cast out devils in your name? You see, they were Christians. You can't cast out devils unless you're a Christian. So they were Christians, but then they went to hell. So that teaching that says once saved, always saved, is false doctrine. You can lose your salvation if you get sloppy about being a Christian. Jesus said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? If you're a Christian, you're supposed to follow Jesus and do the things he said. In another scripture, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, if you want to do what Jesus said and keep his commandments, you have to know what he said. To know what he said, you better read the Bible. Or you could have a set of CDs with someone reading the Bible. Alexander Scorby is one narrator. You could have a set of audio cassette tapes with someone reading the Bible. You can listen to it. But you need to know what Jesus said so you can do what Jesus said. Because Jesus said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? But if you are doing what Jesus said, if you're seeking the Lord, if you're praying, Bible says pray without ceasing in Thessalonians. Bible says work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Why with fear and trembling? Because it's easy to get sloppy, to get a little lazy, to watch TV when you should be praying. I'm not saying you can't watch TV, but don't let TV displace your seeking the Lord every day. You're praying, you're reading the Bible. When I was a young man, an older Christian brother advised me, Fred, you've got to read at least a chapter a day in the Bible. If you don't read at least a chapter a day in the Bible, he said, you'll fall on your face as a Christian. And I thought that was good advice. I've tried to do that. And I think most days I have done it. And when I was traveling, when I've been traveling, I've missed some days because the Bible was packed away in my baggage. But I have the Word of God hidden in my heart. David said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And we can pray and we can seek the Lord and we can do the things Jesus said. If you're a Christian, find out what Jesus said. Do those things and you won't lose your salvation if you stick with Jesus. But if you get sloppy and lazy And the things of the world start to seem attractive to you, and you turn aside and follow other things instead of Jesus, a person can lose his salvation.